Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour, Liberty Hills, Texas. Today is September 3, 2017. On this evening, 12, 2021, we're going to the first service on this Sabbath day of the song entitled Face to Face with Yahshua, my Savior. Face to face with Yahshua, my Savior. Face to face with Philippians, and with rapture I behold him, Yahshua, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with the darkened veil between. But a blessed day is coming, his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him far. Why rejoicing in his presence when I banish grief and pain, and the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Yahshua, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by.
Be ye therefore perfect. That's the name of our sermon. Now, we're going to start with Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put up on thee, saith the Yahweh Elohim. Alright, let's now look at the whole chapter of Ezekiel chapter 16. This is dealing with Yahweh's love toward Israel. And then it says, verse 1, again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Yahweh to know her abominations, and say, thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto Yahweh, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in waters to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, that thou wast cast out in the open field unto the loading of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bird of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Yahweh Elohim, and thou becamest mine. Now in Leviticus it says the nakedness of Noah was his father's wife. I mean, was his wife. So when Ham defiled his mother in a drunken stupor, he defiled Noah's, he uncovered Noah's nakedness. And he had to be, had a curse put upon him for that. And when you spread his skirt over, remember Ruth, when she went down to the threshing floor to make a move toward Boaz to become her husband, she laid down at his feet and she took his blanket that he had himself covered with, and she laid it over herself, covered herself. Well, when she became Boaz's wife, she was Boaz's nakedness. And so Boaz covered his nakedness with a garment. This is what this is talking about. Now, she says, when I covered you with my skirt, I took you as my wife, he said. That's what that means. Okay, in Ezekiel 16:9, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of the fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect. Through my comeliness which I had put upon thee, saith the Yahweh Elohim. Now we're going to go into verse 15 of Ezekiel 16, and we're going to read about Jerusalem's sin. That thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedst the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredst out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. Now, when Solomon built the temple and got it completed and had it dedicated, a glorious replica of heaven's Jerusalem, completely re-replicated right here on earth, what did he do with it? He went out and started bringing in heathen women on his campground, on the campground of Jerusalem that represents the holy city from heaven. Jerusalem is perfect. When Solomon got it finished and dedicated, it was perfect. A perfect replica of heaven. But Solomon defiled the campground of Jerusalem. He brought in at least 700 wives and 300 concubines. He just seemed to couldn't get enough of that wonderful fleshly lust of the flesh. He just had to have all he could get. And he already had to divorce. Had to divorce Jerusalem and Israel. And Solomon lamented over it, and he repented at the end of his days, and no doubt will be reinstated in heaven, be resurrected and saved, but he sure did his dastardly work. And this is what Yahweh was talking about right here. He's talking about what Solomon did. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and plaitest the harlot thereupon, the like things that shall not come, and neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest unto thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. Solomon did all of these things. He allowed these heathen wives to bring in their heathen gods, their pagan gods, and statues and images, and he let them set them upon the high places, just like it said right in Ezekiel. That was a type. And what was that type of? It was a type of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and her Grand Commission to bring forth a second replica of the Kingdom of Heaven here on earth. Of the New Jerusalem coming down. Adventist Church had that commission. They had it. And notice I said past tense had it. They don't have it no more. Their daughter, the House of David that I represent, has that commission passed on to her. And we're going to fulfill that commission. 100%. And tookest thy broidered garments and covered them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor, and thus it was, saith Yahweh Elohim. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, comma, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? They made two verses out of that one sentence. And can you believe that? Verse 20 and 21. Of size of a paragraph was made one sentence divided up in two verses. Anyway, Ezekiel 16:22, and in all thine abomination and thy whoredoms thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. That's exactly the description of Solomon before he was anointed a king of Israel, set upon the throne of David, his father. And it came to pass, after all thy wickedness, woe unto thee, saith the Yahweh Elohim, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thine feet to every one that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Verse 26, thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, greater flesh than The first wife that Solomon took was the daughter of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's the first wife he took. And this is exactly what Yahweh is talking about here through his prophet Ezekiel. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Now, I just had a strong thing came to me here. When Abraham took Hagar to wife, the bondmaid of Sarah, his legal wife, Sarah was of the blood family of Abraham. She was his half-sister. But nevertheless, they had a pure bloodline, and they were allowed to be husband and wife. And they were called of Yahweh to do a special work to set up the great nation of Israel here in these last days. Their seed shall inherit that land and become a purified nation. And so when Yahweh held up Sarah from bearing this promised son, Sarah got impatient and went to Abraham and said, "Well, take my bondmaid, Hagar, an Egyptian woman." Sarah was in the wrong. She was in the wrong for doing that. And so Abraham, because that was a custom back then to do things like that, he took an Egyptian woman and he made that his second wife, just like Solomon did. He took Pharaoh's daughter, an Egyptian woman, to be his first wife after he set up the purified kingdom of heaven here on earth. And had built it, actually built it, and had it all dedicated, called one of the seventh wonders of the world. And the scripture says Solomon could not bring that Egyptian woman, Pharaoh's daughter, into the house of David. Because he would defile it. So he built her a house of her own. Still on the property, though, of Israel's property, but nevertheless he built her a house, but she could not live or come into the house of David. So Solomon, wanted to be a husband to her, he had to go to her house. He had to go to her house. And then he'd have to go back to his house. He had 1,000 wives. So Solomon had 1,000 wives. They had to have their own homes. They had to have, the individual had to have a home. So when Solomon wanted to sleep with one of them, he'd have to go to her house. And you can bet he slept with all 1,000 of them, one after the other. At different times, at a different day. But they all had 1,000 homes, and they were all illegal. They were all illegal. They were all, in other words, it was all fornication, which is an abomination in Israel. That's the reason why Jerusalem couldn't stand. Yahweh allowed it 40 years for Solomon to rule, but brother, look what happened. All right. "Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way." Ezekiel 16, verse 28 now. "Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrian." There it is right there. Adult fornication. "Because thou wast unsatiable, yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. So you went among the Assyrians, that is your northern neighbors, You went across the border. You wanted to make friends with them, and you did. And you went to intermarried with them, and that's what happened. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan. There's that word fornication. Unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. Now Joseph down in Egypt was a perfect man. But there wasn't any Israelites down in Egypt to marry. And so therefore, he took an Egyptian woman and had two sons by them. It was an approved of marriage by Yahweh. So the Egyptians, apparently, they have a status as the second wife of the prophet of Israel. Like Abraham. Hagar was his second wife. But that wife of Joseph was his first wife down in Egypt, but she was an Egyptian. Now if Joseph had been in Israel, Yahweh no doubt would have sent him an Israelite woman. But it wasn't supposed to be that way. How weak is thine heart? We're on verse 3 now, Ezekiel 16. Saith to Yahweh Elohim, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. And that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, and that thou scornest her, but as a wife that committed adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. For they give gifts unto all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. So you hire all these nations, and you have them to come unto you. Come unto this here beautiful city of Jerusalem. Have them come in here and defile it. Yahweh put you in charge. You became a custodian of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and what did you do with it? And the contrary is in thee from other women and thy whoredom. Whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredom, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Yahweh's judgment on Jerusalem, this is in Ezekiel 16, verse 35. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Yahweh. In other words, he's saying this. Wherefore, O Seventh-day Adventist harlot, hear the word. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms, with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers, with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness, and I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stone, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women, And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no harm any more. And this is telling us, this prophecy is for the Adventist Church exclusively. This is for Ezekiel's prophecies. All of his prophecies are for the end time. And they are all to the house of Israel, the spiritual house of Israel, the Adventist Church, and her daughters. The Davidians, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Shepherd Rod, the Branch Davidians, Brother Debbie Johnson, I was a harlot daughter of the Adventist Church, and I was a member for 33 years, so I know what I'm talking about. I was there and witnessed the whole thing. And so, they're already through. All the daughters of the Adventist Church are already through. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet and will be no more angry. Now, the punishment hasn't yet have been completed on the Adventist Church and her daughters, but they're well on their way. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Yahweh Elohim, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abomination. Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb. Against thee sin, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husband and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughter, that dwell at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughter. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. And thou there saith to Yahweh Elohim, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done nor her daughters as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. So, Sodom and Gomorrah is portrayed here now in the form of the Adventists and the Davidian set of the Adventists. Between the 10 tribes of Israel and the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Well, this abundance of idleness was definitely at Gilead Center. I never seen anything like it for 33 years. Wasted on just 90% idleness and rebuilding the temple of Yahweh. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Neither hast Samaria committed half of thy sin, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sin that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, and that thou hast justified thy sisters. And I shall bring again their captivity. The captivity of the Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters. Now, this here captivity of Sodom is Judah. This is a shepherd rod, Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, because she had two feeding pastures. Sodom had two feeding pastures in our day, the shepherd rod from 1930 to 1970, and Gilead Center from 1970 for 2010. Two feeding pastures for Sodom. Samaria represents the capital of the ten tribes in the north, which is the same thing as the capital of the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. And her daughter, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sister Sodom and her daughter shall return unto their former estate, and Samaria and her daughter shall return unto their former estate, then thou and thy daughter shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of the reproach of the daughters of Syria, and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abomination, saith Yahweh. For thus, so who are the Philistines today? They're your Muslim. They're your Obamaites. They're the Muslim Brotherhood. The Palestinians. They're on the Gaza Strip. They're in Israel. These are your Muslim. These are your, we're talking about the daughters of the Philistines. They hate you. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abomination, saith Yahweh. For thus saith Yahweh, Elam, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which has despised the oath and the breaking of the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahweh, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith Yahweh Elohim. That ends Ezekiel chapter 16. It had 63 total verses. Now let's fast forward to Ezekiel chapter 27. The fall of Tyrus. For the word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Now this Tyrus is a name of Lucifer. It's a city where Lucifer is the king of Tyrus. I'll be able to learn this. Thy borders are in the midst of the sea. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy ships boards of fir trees of Senir. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Now the fir trees and your cedar trees are what Solomon made his ships out of. Okay, let's go on. Of the oaks of Bashan, Bashan is the first feeding pasture called Seventh-day Adventist today, have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Chittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of the Elisha or is that which perverted it? For the inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, were thy pilots. For the ancients of Gebal and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers, meaning there are those that caulk between the wood, the planks. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persia and of Lud and of Put were in thine army. The men of war, they hang the shield and helmet in thee. They set forth thy comeliness. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about, and Gamadams were in thy towers. They hang their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Tarnished was thy merchant by reason, or Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches, with silver, iron, tin, and lead. They traded in thy fairs. Avan, Tubal, and Meshach, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. They of the house of Togarmah traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thine hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Where'd that come from? Africa, and probably India. Syria was thy merchants by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple and broidered work, and fine linen and coral and agate. Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of Meneth and Panag and honey and oil and balm. Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of the wares of thy making, for the multitude of all riches and the wine of Helbon and white wool. Dan also and Avan, going to and fro occupied in thy affairs, brought iron, cassia, and calamus were in thy market. Dedan was thy merchant in precious clothes for chariots. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats, and these were they thy merchant. Now, just talking about today, the United States, they trade with all these nations and all these products that we're reading about right now. And the Adventist Church spiritually traded with all these nations and all of the things that they have exchange markets for. For the merchants of Sheba and Ramah, they were thy merchants. They occupied in thy fairs with chief of all spices and with all precious stones and gold. Haran and Cana and Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher, and Shilmah, were thy merchants. These were thy merchants, and all sorts of things in blue clothes and broidered work, and in chest of rich apparel, bound with cords and made of cedar among thy merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou wast replenished, and made very glorious in the midst of the sea. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the sea. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers and the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee, and all thy company which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. For the surveyors shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilot, and all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships, they shall stand upon the land, and shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall swallow themselves in the ashes. Now, Ezekiel's prophecy of Ezekiel 27 goes right along with these Revelation 18. Of course, both these are latter day. Revelation 18 is the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. And it says in Revelation 18:19, it says, and they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her caution, that for in 1 hour she made desolate. That's here in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. I'll just go back now to Ezekiel 27, verse 31. And they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tarshish, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When thy words went forth out of the sea, thou fillest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the water, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. All the inhabitants of the isle shall be astonished at thee, and their kings shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That ends Ezekiel 27. Now we're going to go right on into Ezekiel 28. But I want to make a mention again here in Ezekiel 27:33. When thy words went forth out of the seas, thou fillest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. Now this, like I said, this is a latter-day prophecy that meets its fulfillment there in Revelation 18, and especially the verse 19. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her cautiousness, for in 1 hour she made desolate. So all these ships that are sailing the seas today from China, especially from China, the ocean is just full of ships. Thousands of millions of them are sailing the oceans right now, all over the seven seas, all the oceans and inlets. They're carrying merchandise to and from, trading between nations. All that is going to just stop one day. All right. Now let's go back to Ezekiel and we'll start with verse 1 of Ezekiel 28. For the word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tarshish. Now remember in Ezekiel 27, verse 1, it says, the word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, now thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tarshish. And now in Ezekiel 28 it says, the son of man is say unto the prince of Tarshish. Now this prince of Tarshish is, we're going to find out, is Satan. It's also going to represent it's going to also represent the leader of the spiritual Israel today. Somewhere along the line also represents the spiritual Israel. A leader, and this would be no doubt the leader of the last feeding parish for the Adventists, and that would be Brother Johnson at Gilead Center, because he had the sanctuary completely given to him to restore, and he did restore it, like Solomon did. Solomon built the whole complete thing. But Brother Johnson had the blueprint to restore that spiritual temple 100%, and he did. So, in that case, then Brother Johnson also represented antitypical Solomon time. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, because Solomon had 40 years, and so we're going to have Solomon's antitypical 40 years, starting in 1970 and ending in 2010 as well. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of the Yahweh, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not Yahweh, though thou sit thine heart as the heart of Yahweh. Now, Brother Johnson also fulfilled this here sitting in the seat of Yahweh. Yahweh personally appointed him to sit in that seat of the prophet here at Gilead Center. So he sit as the seat of Yahweh. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Well, you know, Donald Trump is a very rich man, the President of the United States. But, you know, his heart's not lifted up because of his riches. He's a very humble individual. He has feeling for the person that don't have a dime. A man came to him one day, and Donald Trump met him in person at one of those rallies, and he was campaigning for the president in 2016, and the man was in need. He needs some money. He was flat broke. Donald Trump says, well, here's your $10,000. Will that take care of your needs? And oh, the man just rejoiced. Donald Trump wrote him a check for $10,000. Okay. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of Yahweh, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am Yahweh? But thou shalt be a man, and know Yahweh in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hands of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith Yahweh Elohim. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Okay. So, and translated again, Brother Johnson had many titles, but he didn't have any of those titles that he claimed to be. That he claimed to have. They were false titles. But he had many titles. And this is one of them, King of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. In other words, you had the perfect blueprint for the restoring of the heavenly sanctuary here on earth in the antitype. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Yahweh. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the work and shape of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of Yahweh. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of Yahweh. So, Lucifer set himself up as the Yahweh here on earth. The Pope set himself up as the Yahweh here on earth. Brother Johnson sit in the seat of Yahweh here on earth. And he was also identified as a man of sin, this VWJ. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee unto the ground. I will lay thee before kings that thou may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee unto ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Prophecy against Zidon. This is a heathen nation that bordered Israel in Yahshua's day. Yahshua went and got a heathen woman that came out of the coast of Zidon, and he healed her daughter. She asked for healing for her daughter, and so Yahweh gave her a little test, and she passed it, so he healed her daughter. Verse 20, Ezekiel 28:20. Again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon and prophesy against it, and say, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh, and there shall be no more a prickling briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh Elohim. It says, Yahweh Elohim, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given unto my servant Jacob, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards, yea, they shall dwell in with confidence, when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh their Elohim. In Matthew 5:48, it says, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 19:21, For the Yahshua said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So Yahshua knew there was only one thing keeping that rich man from being perfect, and that was his riches. So he just told him, go get rid of it, and give it to the poor, and come and follow me, and you'll have your treasure in heaven. Luke 1:3, It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, what is Paul telling this most excellent Theophilus? Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, verse 2, even as he delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. For it seemed good unto me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Okay, now let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 40. For the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. John 17:23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Acts 3:16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts 22:3. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according unto the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward Yahweh, as ye all are this day. Well, I'll tell you what, let's read Acts 24:22 and bring this, Acts 24:22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, in other words, the way of Israel, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Father. This brings us to our study. Our contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Blessed assurance, Yahshua is mine. Blessed assurance, Yahshua is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. There is salvation, purchase of Yah, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song,
praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.